Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. The Old Testament reading for this, the last Sunday of the church year, is recorded for us in the prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die. Forever, and my righteousness made. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I just want to make sure that I'm reading the correct reading here. Our epistle reading is from the letter of Jude. I just wanted to see if we have the extra verses in here. Yes, starting at verse 17. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Okay. So I do that, and then I don't read verse 17. I'm going to start this again, focused right here. Jude 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory and with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. We did this last year with our Sunday school. We had a fall video of the Sunday school choir singing. This was actually recorded back, intended for Reformation Sunday. We didn't quite make that, but we have it today for your enjoyment and enlightenment.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I
I invite the congregation to please stand as we join in singing the Alleluia and verse on the bottom of page 205. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, who is, who was, and who will be coming again, the Almighty. Amen. As Pastor Neubauer mentioned, it's the last Sunday of the church year. Next week, we'll ring in the new with the season of Advent. We close this one by remembering the Lord is coming to gather his people. So, stay awake and keep prepared. The word of the Lord for the strengthening of our faith and the living of our lives is a gospel lesson for this morning from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37, which we just heard read. Today, on this last Sunday of the church year, we are reminded that Judgment Day is approaching, and we will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The Bible makes clear that Jesus, his coming again to gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. The one who created the world, the one who redeemed and restored the world by his death and resurrection, he is the one who is coming back, as we confess in the creeds, to judge the living and the dead in perfect justice. It may be sooner, it may be later, but it will happen. There is coming an end to this world. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson this morning from the prophet Isaiah, the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. Thus saith the Lord. It's going to happen. And it seems to me that when faced with this news, people tend to react in one of two ways. Either they act like Chicken Little and run around screaming, "The end is coming, the end is coming," or they ignore it and think that it's never going to happen, or at least not as long as they are alive. But our text gives us a very different picture of things. Jesus promises to return again in visible glory and with great power. And while we wait, he gave us orders to carry out as his servants. When Jesus returns, all will know that Jesus of Nazareth, the one who lived 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, was buried and rose again, is the Lord over all. He is the Lord, no one else. He is the very Son of God, the Messiah. He was made incarnate. That means he became human, carried out his public 3-year ministry, was crucified to pay for our sins, and was bodily raised from the dead, exalted over all things, and one day will return in visible glory for all to see. We Christians are his disciples, and the promise of his second coming helps us clearly understand and focus on what this thing called Christianity is all about. We follow him, we carry out his orders, and we look for his return. That's Christianity. In our text, Jesus puts it all into perspective. The created world is temporary. Its days, like our own, are numbered. Everywhere we look, we get reminders that this world is temporary. Gray hairs, weak knees, muscle pulls, bones creaking and cracking, machines break, toys fall apart, the computer locks up, and sometimes we wonder if we'll ever make it through the day. Now, Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem for what will be our Lord's last Passover. As they left the temple, his disciples looked around, admiring the grandeur of the temple. The temple was beautiful and magnificent, a piece of architectural splendor. And the Jews took great pride in the temple. It stood as the central place of worship for them to bring their sacrifices and offer their prayers to God. Here, God made his dwelling place with his people. Jesus took this opportunity to teach his disciples about the end times. And he made the disturbing comment that in the not too distant future, not one of those buildings that they were looking at would be intact, and not one of the giant stones would be on top of another. And the disciples were naturally upset. So they asked, well, when? When's that going? Jesus then told them about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he took this teachable moment a step further. He pointed the disciples even further ahead to the times that would precede the last day. And the disciples responded again in a very understandable way. When? When is it going to happen? When is all this going to take place? That's still what seems to interest people most about the end of the world. Why has Judgment Day and the end of the world as we know it always been such attention grabbers? Well, to the world, they represent dramatic action, a cataclysmic battle between good and evil that simply must be seen, and of course, scripted into a multi-million dollar book deal and movie. To believers, though, Judgment Day and the end of the world are the fulfillment to the promises of God centered in Jesus, the joyful end when we finally fall into the arms of a waiting Savior, having won the victory over sin, Satan, and death. To both a world that thirsts to be entertained and believers who hunger to spend eternity with God, Judgment Day and the end of the world are events so far into the future and so foggy with unclear interpretations that any little detail or insight is as valuable as a road sign when you're lost. There are some things about Judgment Day we know. In a flash, all people will be gathered before Jesus, including those who have died, and their bodies will be raised to rejoin their souls. But there are some things about Judgment Day we don't know, especially when it will occur. Throughout history, there's been a whole host of folks who have predicted when the end of the world would take place. But the fact is, these folks have been totally and terribly wrong in their predictions. I remember one time in 1988, when we were in worship like this morning, and people went outside in their car, and on their windshield was a booklet, 88 reasons why the world is going to end in 1988. Well, they had to do a sequel, 1989, and here we are in 2024. What does Jesus say? He tells us don't believe them. The way he puts it, listen, but concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. Now, while we don't know when the last day will come, Jesus does give us some insight. We know that Jesus will return, for he continues, be on guard, keep awake, stay awake. Stay awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Jesus wants us to be alert, on guard, and keep watching for him as if he could come at any time. Jesus underscores this with the illustration of a man who leaves his home and places his servants in charge while he is away. Now, Jesus is the man. The church is the house, and we believers are the servants. The first point Jesus makes with this picture is that we in the church are to be on guard. As he says, we are to keep looking for his return at any moment. Now, the first century Christians, they believed that Jesus would return in their lifetime. They lived in that hope and with that expectation. They kept waiting and watching and longing for the appearing. The message to us today in this 21st century is the same as it was to those in the first century. You don't know when he will return, so always keep ready. Jesus says in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. The Lord Jesus told his followers what they could understand, and he does the same to us. For as Christians, life is full of trouble every day, precisely because we are Christians. But we can understand this too. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. We do not walk on this troubled road alone. Jesus walks with us. As we watch and wait, and the Holy Spirit will empower his redeemed to make a witness before those who hate and persecute them, and they will be given words of proclamation to share with those who persecute and punish them, murder and martyr them. You can endure until the end is why Jesus has lived, died, and risen for you. Are we paying attention to the signs of the last days? Are we going along with the current or fighting the good fight of faith? In the epistle lesson this day, Jude directs us to be built up in our most holy faith, keeping ourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Now, Jesus says, four times we are to stay awake. He says that four times in our text. And that doesn't mean that we can't sleep, although for some of you that's true. It means rather that we are to be sober about the coming of the end, that we're not to overreact in fear, but neither are we to ignore the fact that the day is coming. We are to take seriously the fact that our days are numbered, and that the Father knows the day and the hour when the end will come. Christ is coming, and when he does, you'll see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And in the end, it's all about Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. In faith, those who trust in Jesus Christ alone, can await his coming with joy. For he comes with life, with light, with forgiveness and hope. And he comes to put sin and death in eternal places, once in its eternal places, once for all. But Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh are all singing us a sinful lullaby, trying to lure us away from our Savior and into the death of spiritual sleep, when instead of growing closer to Jesus, the devil tries to lead us away from him. And instead of growing into Christ, we are tempted to take him for granted and fall away. This is the sleepiness that Jesus is referring to in the gospel today. The spiritual stupor that can come upon Christians that can end in spiritual death. And it's the greatest danger we face as we live our life in this world. The greatest threat to you is not persecution or terrorism or bad health or economic collapse or anything else you fear in this world. It is to grow used to your Savior and bored with him. It's to take your faith for granted, like it's not all that important. It is to think that you don't need the church and can make it on your own. None of us expects that to happen, but it does, doesn't it? You know the joke about the fact that the church one time had overrun with mice, and the one older lady, they tried everything, exterminators, and the one lady said, "You know what? Just have the pastor confirm them. They'll never come back." Let me give you another example. The Barna Institute, the studies society in general and the church specifically, do you know what their new definition of a regular church attender is? Once a month. That's the definition now of a regular church attender. And we hear that sweet go-to-sleep lullaby of the devil, the world, and the flesh. You don't need Jesus. And so we do well this day to consider these words of Jesus, apply them to ourselves, stay awake, and keep prepared. There is no Christian Satan leaves alone, and he knows how to get at each one of us, and the world keeps eating away at us, and our old sinful flesh just gets so tired of the struggle, and the siren song of the lullaby sounds so good. And so today, Jesus calls out to us, stay awake. Do not go gently into that spiritual night. Do not listen to the lying voice of Satan, the father of lies. Resist temptation and hate sin. Keep the commandments. Be constant in prayer. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. Take the scriptures to heart. Remember your baptism. Feed and strengthen your faith. Set your mind on things above. Lift up your hearts unto the Lord. Have mercy on others. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's important, for the master of the house is returning, and you do not know when. So be built up by his words, and stay ready for the day by undergirding your life with those words of the Lord. Your Lord Jesus has daily comfort, daily promises, daily gifts and blessings to pour into your life as he cares for you with his word and sacraments, and calls you to a new and glorious life with him. You know what? Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' words will not pass away. The word of the Lord endures forever so that we can endure until the end. So put on the armor of God. As you've been forgiven, so forgive. As you are loved by God, so share that love with others. As he serves and cares for you, so serve and care for others. As you have received the good news of salvation in Christ, so share it with others that they too may know him and be with their Savior in the mansions that he has prepared in heaven. As you are comforted, bestow that comfort. Live as believers who already belong to eternal life. And this is eternal life, to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. As Christians, we don't fear the end of the world. Neither do we fear the troubles of this life. We know they will come. Jesus said that. But what helps us through is the knowledge and confidence that Jesus has overcome them. He is with us, and he's coming back to take us to be with him forever in heaven. On our own, we are unable, but he's able. And what is he able to do? Not only everything, that's too general. He's able, according to our epistle lesson from Jude, to keep you from stumbling, from falling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory. He's able to keep you from falling. And how many ways and how many times are there for us to fall? How many traps, how many doubts and fears? But we trust in the God who is able to keep us from falling, able to pick us up when we do fall, able to give us strength when we are weak, able to deliver us when we are in danger, able to keep and preserve us in the faith, and able to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, able to present you blameless, that is, forgiven, because at the cross, he took your blame, he took your guilt, he took your shame away. He is able because he is the God who is not only crucified for us, but who rose from death for us and lives. He's able because in his death and resurrection, he stripped sin and death and the devil of all their powers. He's able because this Jesus, once crucified, but now risen, is also ascended to the right hand of the throne of God on high. And he wants you to be there with him. He's able because he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's able to give you his kingdom and his victory and his sonship. The day of the Lord is coming. The signs are all around us. We're living in the last days. It will not be easy for you as a believer, but don't be afraid. Christ will soon come again in righteous judgment to take you and all believers in him to be with him at his side. And until then, he's at your side. Such a coming may be sudden, but it certainly calls us to a life of joyful expectation. Be encouraged by his coming. Live as believers who long for the day of his appearing. Pray that day will be here sooner rather than later. The day when there will be no more headaches and heartaches, no more fears and tears, troubles or trials, strife and sorrow. Just God's grace in fullest measure, eternal life. The Lord's desire for you is that his return would not be a day of terror for you, but triumph in him. The one who is coming has come so that we might live. The babe of Bethlehem became the Good Friday Savior and the Easter hope for the whole world. As Christians, we live in him now by faith, and on that last day, we will be with him forever in love. That's good news for us and all who believe. With faith in Christ, there is forgiveness for all of our sins. There's help when we are helpless. There is hope when things seem hopeless. There is life after death. There is eternity. With Jesus, we are more than conquerors, for he gives us a bright future. That's why Jesus lived, died, and rose for you. So, stay awake and keep prepared, for Jesus is coming. Amen. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, that is falling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.